now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slam of pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change lane. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. It is the Pancakes and Power Slam show. This is Chris Featherstone representing Crave Wrestling tonight. And we're going to have a great time here. Of course, as always, thank you all for listening tonight. All who are frequent listeners, you know the drill. 347-884-8452 is the number to call. Also, we'll open up the chat room. It is actually open. It is open right now. Please be sure to flood the chat room. Stay in the chat room. We usually have a really good interaction in the chat room. But if you're in there, and just stay in there, hang tight, and load the chat room up, and just talk about your Raw, SmackDown, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling thoughts, and if it is worthy to be said on air, I will say them. Of course, we will read tweets as well. If applicable, Crave Wrestling. Like I said, the number is 347-884-8452. A few things going on this week's news. Eve wins the Stars Earn Stripes reality TV show. Congratulations to Eve. It's reported that Randy Orton may be going to maybe leaving after SmackDown. He is shooting a new movie, 12 Rounds Reloaded. And so that's why he hasn't really been so much into the title picture. A little bit, but not so much as far as a top guy, just kind of a floater right now. So he'll be gone for now. And then we have two men being arrested for stealing the TNA belt. One was the Authentic, that was worth about $6,000, and a replica that was worth about $400, and they were caught and, punished for that. D-Von gone from TNA, and Bully Ray may be on his way as well, as far as reason being because of contract negotiations not being able to pan out, unfortunately. So definitely wish the best for D-Von and his future endeavors. And I'm chuckling because of the WWE reference there. And Bully Ray, hopefully, I wrote an article about it last week. Got a lot of reactions as far as people thinking D-Von should stay. I definitely think D-Von should stay. He has really honed his craft as being, this is probably the best part of his career as far as his character is concerned, because they tried him being a solo character for a stint in the WWE. Didn't work out too well. I believe he won a hardcore title. Other than that, it just didn't work out too well, but they quickly put the Dudleys back together. But they ventured out to put him, break them up, and at first it was very skeptical, but they really, both D-Von and Bully Ray have really honed in their characters, but definitely Bully Ray as far as the amazing heel that he is right now. If anybody have any thoughts about if he would work in the WWE, feel free to call in or be on the chat line or tweet at Crave Wrestling and let us know your thoughts. And then finally, Cameron from the Funkadactyls, Cameron, also known as Adrian Andrews from Tough Enough. She is suspended for 15 days for a DUI that happened this week, in the past week, and she was arrested and she was caught and arrested. And she, there's some rumors going around that she tried to bribe a police officer. And then there's also some rumors going around that she listed Wells Fargo as her employer. But that those, you know, those are just flying around. I believe TMZ reported that she did list WWE as her employer, but yeah, there's some just it's not conclusive. The story's not that conclusive as far as what's going on. But what is conclusive is that she was arrested for DUI and she was suspended for 15 days. Everybody who is going on and flooding the chat room, definitely have a question for you. To start off, what titles did Bam Bam Bigelow have in the WWE? I'll say that, WWE. We're going to the Raw recap here. Before Raw, Michael Cole actually was alone, and before Raw, he came, he aired and showed him, and he showed CM Punk. He talked about CM Punk, what happened and why Jerry Lawler is not sitting next to him. And basically they showed what happened backstage a few minutes before airtime. CM Punk and Jerry Lawler get into it and go back and forth. And so basically after that, Sheamus comes out, has an interview. Interrupted by CM Punk, AJ comes out, announces Cena versus Alberto Del Rio, and CM Punk versus Sheamus in a champion versus champion match. I was actually looking forward to that match. I thought it was going to be a good idea. I would have. We'll talk about what happened, what eventually happened, but I think it would have been a good idea. I was a proponent of that happening. Probably no one would have won clean, but it still would have been a good match. I think they coined it as the first time ever, and I don't remember them competing against each other beforehand, so some of them first time evers aren't necessarily true. So I would have been excited about that match, but the exchange between CM Punk and Sheamus was pretty good. I actually wouldn't be opposed to a feud between them because it seemed like they were kind of playing off each other as far as the chemistry is concerned. I like their verbal exchange. CM Punk is usually known to give the lashing. There's only a very, very select few of people that can compete with CM Punk on the mic. Although Sheamus wasn't as witty as CM Punk was, he definitely had some one-liners that weren't as bad as what we saw beforehand in Kevin Nash. He was buried, unfortunately, and Kevin Nash is he cuts decent promos, but he was a little off his rocker, and CM Punk had kind of a rude awakening. So then we saw Dolph Ziggler defeat Randy Orton. Good call on this, I believe. Ziggler losing twice against Orton wouldn't have been good. I think he needs some steam. Although, like I've written in my articles on the Bleacher Report, I don't really think that winning a series of matches would matter because Daniel Bryan, he went on a bit of a losing streak. And he ended up, you know, winning the title in December and never looking back, you know, from there. So it was definitely a good idea for Dolph Ziggler to win the Money in the Bank. Because, you know, he doesn't really need to worry so much about his one loss record. He can lose five straight matches and then all of a sudden, you know, get upset that he's on his losing streak, cash in the Money in the Bank and become world heavyweight champion. So I think that that really doesn't matter too much. Miz comes out after the match and joins Michael Cole in commentary. Throughout the evening, you could definitely tell that The Miz was a little nervous because there's the announcing is a lot more difficult than people think, and I know that Booker T has got a lot of criticisms in the beginning and really throughout the whole course of his commentating. I actually was a fan of his commentating. I think it was different. I think, you know, his catchphrases was pretty innovative. And even, you know, we'll get to Michael Cole using one of his catchphrases. But The Miz is okay. I was expecting a little bit more with him because he's pretty witty on the mic, and we didn't really get that. He was bumping heads a number of times with Michael Cole, and you can just tell that it wasn't a comfortable setting to him. So the Miz on the mic really proves to people that it's not that easy. There's a lot of timing that comes with announcing correctly, and as far as, I don't know if you noticed, but they don't talk when the wrestlers come out. They don't talk when the ring announcer announces the wrestler. There's a lot of there's a lot of things that is a part of being a successful announcer. So definitely The Miz was he was aware, he became aware of that really fast. So then we go on to the anger management week two, the part one. They come up with an anger collage, and I definitely thought it was extremely funny. It was Daniel Bryan had the no and the yes, and he explained successfully his anger collage. And then, of course, Kane, he had a blank piece of paper, and then after that, he put it in the trash can, and then he set it on fire. So it was very good. It was a very, very good anger management session, and I definitely have a lot to say about how the course of this anger management session panned out as well. So I definitely have a lot of good things to say about that, and we'll go further into that as we recap the rest of Raw here. Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio defeats Cody Rhodes and Tensai. Cody Rhodes and Tensai are just two people. Two people that are really, really not on the good part of the WWE, the good foot of the WWE, proverbially. It's really tough to see someone like Cody Rhodes being in such a bad position right now, being such a bad state. I definitely think he deserves so much better. I really don't know if this is leading to anything. I really don't know if this is leading to anything. Just because I don't see any type of progression to what's going on in his career. He's just really kind of doing the mask thing, and it's really, really tough for me to see that. Tensai, already called that out. I call that out as far as Tensai is concerned, and I really don't see anything else going on with his career. as far as any type of progression is going is concerned, yeah. When they rid him of that that crazy, ridiculous gimmick, that's when I can see him. That's when I can see him making the decision. Them making a decision to do a little bit more with his career. Other than that, I don't see anything going on with Tensai. And it makes me think about how when he was Giant Bernard in New Japan, he was a lot more successful. He was a lot more successful with his career. It wasn't too gimmicky, and it was a lot more convincing than this Tensai crap that's going on right now. It's really tough for me to indulge Tensai. We've talked many times about the whole Tensai character, and there's not much more to talk about that. It was horrible. It's been horrible from the beginning, and I really think that they might have to cut their costs and say it was a failed project, and unfortunately, either relegate him, which at the same time, it's kind of tough because they really, they would really be cutting their costs, and they would really be, it would really be tough for them to not do anything, but let him go. But at the same time, I do understand the reason why they would keep him. He would be a decent mid-carder to use. I never saw anything more than a mid-carder for Tensai in the first place. But I think if they're not so prideful about cutting their costs, I can see him as a mid-card guy, maybe having a decent feud with a babyface mid-card champion down the line. Then we saw Michael Cole referring to Booker T in the match, saying with the greatest of ease when Sin Cara went up in the air. So as for all of the Booker T critics there, including Michael Cole from what we saw in his, commentating throughout SmackDown. Yeah, that comes back at you, and definitely learn to appreciate things like that because, he was missed, obviously, with Michael Cole saying that. And the thing is, I know that he will... As much as he was criticized, I know that he eventually Booker T was embraced, and at least his catchphrases were embraced. So kudos to Booker T for hanging in there and staying true to himself, and eventually actually becoming very. At least his catchphrase is becoming popular, so definitely a big kudos to Booker T on that. Then we saw Anger Management Session Part 2, The Circle of Trust. This was hilarious. Just the whole, like I said, the whole Anger Management series, it really gives the WWE a lot of kudos as far as this angle is concerned. Now, we can criticize a whole bunch of other things, but it seems like they're really doing a lot with this angle. And that's my point is, even with that, we can see how with the correct booking and with the thought involved, it definitely, you definitely can see that a well-planned out angle, a well-booked angle can really captivate the audience. This one here, and just the whole night, just the whole night is really, really did a great job with continuing this angle in such a unconventional way that was just, I totally loved everything part of it. The Circle of Trust segment was Daniel Bryan being caught by Kane, Harold trying to go back, and him being he wasn't caught by Kane, and then eventually Daniel Bryan made a reference of you know what I'm thinking and that, and they kind of forming a bond, which was pretty funny. And so I loved everything about that, and it was hilarious. And once again, kudos to Harold or Scorpio Sky or Mason Andrews, whatever you want to call them. I definitely think that that he should have a little bit more. They were talking about how they wanted to give him a little bit more exposure. So I definitely am a big fan of indie wrestlers getting that type of exposure. I mean, you have to understand they wrestle, you know, in front of 200 to 2,000 to, you know, to 6,000, 7,000 people on a good day, you know, just to make it, just to make that spot, you know, like Harold or Scorpio Sky is. So definitely got to give him props for that. So definitely big kudos to Scorpio Sky for that. So then we go on to Sheamus versus CM Punk. So we thought, before we go in there, the number to call is 347-884-8452. Question going on right now. Wasn't answered correctly. So the answer to what titles did Bam Bam Bigelow have in the WWE? The answer is none. He has not won any championship in the WWE. And my next question is, what Tough Enough champions has won any type of world heavyweight championship, either WWE or either World Heavyweight Championship or WWE Championship? I'm not including ECW Championship on this one. So as far as an active World Heavyweight Championship, what Tough Enough winner has won, or what Tough Enough winners have won in World Heavyweight Championship? And feel free to answer that in the chat room. As far as Sheamus and CM Punk, Sheamus is in the ring, and Punk comes out and says that he has taken the day off. AJ stops him in the back, and Punk tells AJ he has taken a personal day and leaves. Matt Stryker comes out, and AJ says, "Who are you?" And which was a little awkward to me. But then eventually AJ tells Matt Stryker to tell Sheamus to hang tight, and he's going to get an opponent. Ends up defeating Jack Swagger with the Texas Cloverleaf, which I like to call the Irish Cloverleaf. Alberto Del Rio comes in post match and they fight, and Sheamus eventually bro kicks Ricardo Rodriguez, who took a mean bro kick, stepped in the line of fire for Alberto Del Rio and took a mean bro kick. I wonder if this is leading to a submission match at Night of Champions, since he did do that Texas Cloverleaf, and then Alberto Del Rio is known for the cross arm bar. So I don't know. I'm not a fan of Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio. I'll definitely say that. I'm not a fan of Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio, period. But at the same time, if it's some type of stipulation, then just a normal match, I guess that I can tolerate, or I don't even know if that's the word, but partially tolerate the match between them two, just because it has a stipulation to it. So, and then we go on to Eve defeating Caitlin. Eve, Layla's out in the announcer's table and arguing with the Miz about the match, which was a little annoying. Eve goes out and shakes Layla's hand at the announcer's table. Just really not much to say here. It's really not much to say here. I'm not too enthused with the Eve and Caitlin feud. I mean, I guess Caitlin being a new face in the Divas mix, I guess that's a plus to that. But other than that, I'm just not interested. Feel free to call in 347-884-8452. Send your tweets to at Crave Wrestling. Feel free to log into the chat room and have some fun in the chat room. Share your thoughts about Raw, SmackDown, Impact Wrestling, or TNA. Express version today, a 60-minute show. And thanks so much for tuning in with us. And flavor of the week this week will be the WWE wrestlers with the most recognized spears. There's a few wrestlers that are known for their spears, past and present. So we'll talk about the spears today. The flavor of the week, feel free to call in if you want to share your thoughts with that. Then we go to a backstage segment with Jack Swagger and AJ. And there's been some rumblings. I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's some rumblings of basically Jack Swagger being repackaged, so to speak. Not so much as character, like a character overhaul, but a bit of a repackaging and getting a new manager. So looks like from what we're seeing here, it definitely could be the case. Because basically Swagger says he tells AJ he's on the path of leaving, and AJ stops him and wondering why he's leaving. Made a weird comment. She said Brock Lesnar left me, and then she says Chris Jericho left me, which is kind of odd because she kind of like went off the script a little bit. Probably because I don't know if Chris Jericho left me was a comment that she was supposed to say, seeing how the angle was that he lost to Dolph Ziggler and got his contract basically terminated. So I was a little weirded out by that, but. Swagger says he's going to take some extended time off. So hopefully when he comes back, we'll see Jack Swagger and with a new manager. So we will see. And from what the reports are saying as far as who his manager is, I definitely think it would be a good idea, and I definitely think that it would be a really good rise, a really good resurgence of Jack Swagger, and which I've been a fan of for quite some time now, because he has all the talent in the world. He just needs a mouthpiece, and I think that the manager that they are strongly recommending for him, the mouthpiece will definitely be there. So definitely hope that that's the case. Then we see the anger management session part 3. Basically, at the end of that, we saw some animosity between Daniel Bryan and Kane. Then the instructor gets really upset and leaves. He flips out. Kind of figured that when he was really nice, I kind of figured that was coming. And that was funny that the anger management instructor flips out on Kane and Daniel Bryan, so that's pretty funny to me. And then we saw Stryker trying to interview Alberto Del Rio in the training room to see the condition of Ricardo Rodriguez. David Otunga interrupts and dismisses the interview, saying that my client, he used the word my client, so that may be a sign of where he is as far as his involvement in the WWE now. He may be a the Clarence Mason of Alberto Del Rio. Clarence Mason being the old attorney for the Nation of Domination. So he may be that. He may be the Clarence Mason role now, which wouldn't have an I wouldn't be opposed to that. I think that that's a good idea, actually. Simply because Dave Otunga as a wrestler just does not cut it. He does not cut it there, and it really doesn't seem like they are going to give him the go ahead to be anything more than just a mid card jobber. So I wasn't a fan at all with his showing on NXT or even with the Nexus, but at the same time, this new Laurinaitis' assistant and all of that, he definitely honed his craft as far as his character is concerned. So I definitely became a Otunga. I got to the point where I could put up with Otunga, even to the point where I was actually liking his character for a while. Right now he's just kind of bland, but I'm glad that they're giving him some type of direction, and I definitely hope that he maybe even be a manager and maybe even have a stable. You know, the primetime players are in need of a manager, which is another part of the news that I'm left out to Brian Josie, or otherwise known as AW, has been going on Twitter rants. I wrote an article about it on the Bleacher Report. He's been going on Twitter rants just bashing the WWE and the McMahons, and he explained that the reason why he got fired from the WWE was because of some type of political reference that he made. Political reference that he made about Linda McMahon's campaign or something to that nature, and that's the reason why he got fired. I mean, I don't necessarily know if that's the truth, but at the same time, you know, you just got to take his word for it. I did on my article, I did partially defend him, saying that, you know, he made the comment. The comment wasn't okay. But at the same time, you know, you got people who are being reprimanded for 15 days for a DUI, which, you know, could cost somebody their life, you know, in an extreme case. And then reports saying that you're denying your employer because you're scared to make it public. And then Tensai basically just made a racial slur to a whole, you know, to a whole Asian race, really. I mean, yeah, the Sakamoto tout that he did, and the video that he did, that was definitely not okay. And it wasn't okay, but I don't think that it was, you know, worthy to be fired. I don't think it was that extreme. But at the same time, I don't think that AW's actions was that extreme too. So you have to have a level playing field as far as that is concerned. I think it was just kind of like a pecking order thing, which isn't too fair. So, yeah, I mean, I can understand his grief, and I can see why he's making all these rants. A lot of the comments that I received on the article basically was just bashing the fact that he was ranting on Twitter. But one thing you have to realize is Twitter is the best platform to rant if you have, you know, if you have to rant, you know, which I don't think that ranting is the best idea, but at the same time, you have to be rational. If you want to rant, Twitter is the best platform for it. It's social media. You have that type of expression. You have the freedom to say what you want to say. And, that's the joy of social media. So, you have that type of leeway. So, you can't fault him. You can't fault AW for doing what he's doing. Maybe it's a little extreme. Probably it's a little extreme. But at the same time, hey, he has that freedom to do that because of the access of social media. Then we go on to Ryback defeating Jinder Mahal. There's nothing to really say about this. Just another Ryback match. I guess one thing I will say is I am seeing that Ryback is doing more matches that are not squash matches. So I definitely think that is a good idea. Without question, that's a good idea. And maybe that can eventually lead to a loss by Ryback. I'm still wondering when that is going to happen. So I definitely see that happening. Not really anytime soon, but it just has to happen. Of course, he has to lose. So I'm wondering how are they going to set him up to lose his first match. Are they going to feud him with someone like Sandow and have Sandow have like a cheap victory, which I think wouldn't hurt. A cheap victory wouldn't hurt Ryback and help Sandow a lot. So that is probably the best idea that they would have as far as breaking Ryback's streak. Real quick question here for the chat room or for anybody listening to call in or for anybody who wants to tweet the answer. How many wrestlers competed in the World War III Battle Royal? That's WCW's pay-per-view back in the day, World War III. How many wrestlers competed in the World War III Battle Royal? Then we go to Raw Active results. Opportunity to choose their fate, Kane and Daniel Bryan's fate, whether they wanted to, whether they had to compete against each other, compete in a tag team match, or quote unquote hug it out. And I was gunning for a tag match, because I simply did not imagine that hug it out would be as comical and amazing of a segment as it was. It doesn't seem, 55%, it kind of seemed like that was those numbers were kind of predetermined, but I'm fine with it for this purpose. The predetermined numbers for this purpose I'm totally fine with, because this was one of the most memorable segments in recent WWE history. I will branch out to say that and be confident in saying it. This was one of the most comedic and funniest segments in recent WWE history. I absolutely love this. I was cracking up, laughing on several occasions. This was absolutely amazing. And I think that it led to them kind of patting or kind of slapping each other on the arm, and them going back and forth with that, and they lead to them pushing each other and then fighting each other and Daniel Bryan running away. Just very, very well written segment. Totally a fan of it, and I'm really excited about what more they're going to do with this Kane and Daniel Bryan. Yeah, it's so funny that I wrote an article called it's called Throwing the Art of Culmination Out of the Window, and it talked about how this is on Bleacher Report. It talked about how a lot of wrestling that we see these days, it really takes that element of culminating an angle at a major pay-per-view, and I really have a big problem with that. Kane and Daniel Bryan was one of those angles that I saw could have had a culmination to it, But at the same time, we would miss out on all of these, all of what we've seen so far. So I'm totally, you know, that is the excuse to the rule. This angle has been one of the high points of recent WWE television. So definitely kudos to the writing staff and as far as conspiring that type of angle, constructing that type of comedy to this angle, to this feud and storyline, I think it's hilarious. And it didn't require like a AJ or a third wheel, and it's not for a title either. So that makes it even more entertaining and more creative. So I'm definitely a fan of what I see about that. One interesting thing about that that segment is Michael Cole saying wrestlers, and Miggs corrected him and saying superstars, which is pretty interesting. Then we saw Antonio Cesaro defeating Santino. Waste of time to me as far as what we saw. Santino trying to get the Cobra. He hitting him without the Cobra and didn't do anything. A little bit over the top for me. I think Santino deserves better. But the saving grace of the little ray of light that I saw from this is that since every title has to be competed at Night of Champions, which I have a bit of a gripe about that, the Intercontinental title, neither the Intercontinental title nor the U.S. title has been pushed much at all. We saw a little bit with the tag team titles couple of weeks ago with all of the teams coming together and kind of having a big melee in the back. But just the build for all the other titles. I mean, Night of Champions have had some above average pay-per-views. And the whole concept is good, too. Every title is being defended, so a bit of a better concept, and so I like that type of minor pay-per-view. I like that type of theme for a minor pay-per-view instead of just a random name like Over the Edge or something like that. I like Night of Champions. I think that should be a mainstay as far as minor pay-per-views are concerned. So, but the good thing about this is that since that was his match, there is a good chance that we won't see it on the pay-per-view. So that means that another babyface would fit the mold of coming in the mix against Cesaro. My first choice would be Christian. I would love for Christian to be U.S. champ. I would definitely go on the list of championships that he has not, that he has had throughout his career, and one of the couple championships that he has not had. He has not had the WWE championship. He has not had the U.S. championship. So I really think that he could be one of those wrestlers that have captured all active championships before his career is over. And I would be a very, very strong proponent of that, because I definitely think Christian deserves that type of accolade. Then we saw Zack Ryder defeat Heath Slater. Looks like it was just a filler match. You know, it's Raw. It's 3 hours. Wasn't too big of a not much bad I can say about this. You know, what do you expect with 3 hours of programming? You're going to have to see filler matches like this. So I'm a big fan of Heath Slater. I'm okay with Ryder and Slater. It was back and forth as far as who I wanted to win. I didn't mind either one of them winning, so I wasn't too critical about that decision to have Ryder go over. Vicky Guerrero comes out and calls out AJ. They have a little segment which is a little over the top to me. After Vicky talks to an empty chair, which is probably the reference to the empty chair thing that's going on right now as far as the celebrity is concerned. AJ comes out and says the WWE board is forcing her to apologize. After AJ apologizes, Vicky demands an apology to her. Then AJ apologizes, and Vicky smacks her twice, and then goes back, goes up the ramp, laughing, and AJ snaps, and eventually Alberto Del Rio defeats John Cena in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Good match, actually. Pay-per-view quality match, just about. And, you know, it's never doubted Alberto Del Rio's ability to wrestle, but it's just his gimmick is so stale that you kind of overlook that he's actually a good wrestler. And I think the gimmick match added to it was pretty good. It was a good touch to it. Then the reason why he won was they were in the back and CM Punk kicks. They have a screenshot of CM Punk kicking John Cena after he AA'd Alberto Del Rio on some crates, it looks like. CM Punk kicks Cena to help him win, and he GTSs him on a car, says respect, gets in the car. Car rides slowly to reveal the driver, which is none other than Paul Heyman. So there's been some rumblings over the past few weeks that Paul Heyman and CM Punk wanted to work together. I think it is an amazing idea. Totally a proponent and a supporter of this idea. I think that they will work very well together. And I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what this is going to offer. There's reports saying that they did go ahead and sign him to a short-term deal for the sake of keeping him on air to keep Brock Lesnar's name fresh. So I'm hoping that it's just not a little interim period before we see Lesnar again as far as his alliance with CM Punk. CM Punk would have so much more of a long-term benefit for Paul Heyman than Brock Lesnar would, but it definitely wouldn't surprise me to see CM Punk just being an interim person for Brock Lesnar to come back. That's the unfortunate part, but you know, we'll just ride the waves until then. We'll just ride the waves and enjoy what we see and what we're going to see with the alliance of CM Punk and Paul Heyman. That was your Raw of this week, last week's SmackDown. Feel free to call in if got a little bit of time left, 347-884-8452. Send your tweets to @CraveWrestling. The chat room answer has not been answered. Looks like it's been a little bit harder than normal. Looks like last week we got a lot of the answers correct in the chat room, but the answer is there has been no Tough Enough winners to win an active world heavyweight championship. The closest thing we got was John Morrison winning the ECW title, but Miz was actually not a Tough Enough winner. He was one of the final few, and he won the WWE title. And he was probably the most successful person in Tough Enough as far as longevity and achievements. So kudos to The Miz. I believe he was runner-up, if I'm not mistaken, for being one of the finalists of Tough Enough. And though not winning, definitely being the most successful Tough Enough alum. SmackDown, we saw a Sheamus promo interrupted by Damian Sandow. Booker T comes out and books match between the two. Rey Mysterio defeats Cody Rhodes. interesting part about this here. It was said that they wear masks due to fear and ugliness. And I was like, okay, is that a Mexican stereotype there, a little offensive it may have been. Rose attacks Mysterio and tries to take off Mask, but Sin Cara saves. Come in and does the save and puts Mask on Rhodes after Mysterio 619s him. Just more embarrassing from Cody Rhodes. I don't see how this will lead to a Night of Champions match just because of the theme, but we'll see. I don't see how this would stretch out to October pay-per-view either, but we'll see if this actually is a non-title match bout at the pay-per-view or not. Then we saw Caitlin defeat Natalya. Backstage interview with Booker T, and Vicky interjects, makes some more rants about AJ. Sheamus defeating Damian Sandow by count out. I think it was a good ending. Didn't really harm either one of them, so the count out was a good idea. Primetime players defeat Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd. Alberto Del Rio interview, and Kane appears and apologizes to Josh Matthews. Terry Lone comes out and books a match between Alberto Del Rio and Kane. Alberto Del Rio defeats Kane, and in post-match, Kane loses temper and chokeslams Josh Matthews. Then we saw the main event of Randy Orton defeating Dolph Ziggler. And Vicky's still excited because she says Ziggler is still the Money in the Bank winner after the match, which goes on to my point of Ziggler not needing to really win a series or a streak of matches for him to be relevant. I mean, he has the Money in the Bank. He's pretty much a shoe-in world heavyweight champion, so that doesn't mean much if he loses matches. He doesn't really need to win a bunch of matches, like I said, similar to Daniel Bryan. Then we go into Impact Wrestling. Austin Aries comes out and calls out whoever is the leader of Aces and Eights. Sting comes out and Hogan appears as well, supports Aries' decision. Aries wants Aces and Eights. They appear on the screen and say they are going to have fun tonight. James Storm defeats the RVD. Awesome DDT sell by RVD in that match. He does a really good job selling moves and DDTs in particular, and that was an amazing sell. ODB defeats Madison Rain. Eric Young returns. They have their segment there, the little part there, which is hilarious. Eric Young is definitely still one of my favorite TNA wrestlers. Samoa Joe defeats AJ Styles. Chris Louie gets the client contract, which definitely made a lot of sense. He definitely is nowhere near ready. Joey Ryan appears in the crowd with a bullhorn, throws water on Al Snow and runs away. Jeff Hardy defeats Kurt Angle. Great match. Angle out of Bound for Glory series, though. He gets emotional. Aries, Hogan, and company calls out Aces and Eights, and they appear. One-on-one with Aries first, and then a melee starts. Someone appears and puts half mask on and flapjacks Aries, and he's knocked out. So I like what we see. I like the Aces and Eights. As opposed to Open Fight Night, was a little bit over the top. This week definitely regained the momentum of my intrigue and with Aces and Eights. I wrote this on one of my articles on Bleacher Report. I think I wrote this as a response. I don't think that this is the ringleader, but it seems to me that the leader. What we see, I don't think this person is a culprit, but I think the ringleader that we see on air, there's a lot of striking similarities to D'Lo Brown. D'Lo Brown has gained a considerable amount of weight over the past few years. Beforehand, when he was with the Nation of Domination, he was very wide and relatively large guy, and when he went on a singles a relatively successful singles run, capturing the European and Intercontinental Championship on the way. He lost a considerable amount of weight, and they even made that a big deal in the WWE. And when he kind of left WWE and he went with TNA for a while, years back, and he was still in decent shape, and then he left TNA and started competing in the Indies and ROAs for a while. It looks like he picked up a lot of his old weight back, and now he's relatively big guy again, large guy. And but the mannerisms and the head shape, it all strikingly seems like D'Lo Brown. So check that out and see if you can see the same. I'm not saying that it is. I'm not quite sure, but it just may be. Running short on time here, we'll go to ROH. Steve Corino and Jimmy Jacobs defeats the Bravado Brothers to advance to the tournament, title tournament, tag team title tournament. Steve Corino and Jimmy Jacobs makes a deal with Cornette that if they lose any time in the tournament, they will leave ROH. Guardians of Truth come and attacks Corino and Jacobs, and the Sting comes and makes a save, and Rhino does a mean gore on Kevin Steen. It was amazing. Matt Taven defeats Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal comes out and said that before the match, says that he was unable to. Jim Cornette says that he was not a contender for the Kevin Steen's world title because he didn't have that killer instinct. He shakes his hand, gives him the code of honor, gives him a low blow, and then he gives a lethal combination to the referee. Crowd erupts. So that's looks like that might be a start of a Jay Lethal push, which I would totally be a fan of. He's my favorite wrestler in ROH. And then finally, Rhett Titus and Charlie Haas defeats the Guardians of Truth to advance to the tournament. We saw a post-mass attack by Corino and Jacobs. Finally, we'll do the flavor of the week here before we go. We at Crave Wrestling want to thank all of you for just supporting us. There's some adjustments that's going to be made over the next few weeks. We'll definitely let you know. But thank you so much for supporting us. Continue to tell people about Crave Wrestling and cravewrestling@gmail.com. Follow us at Crave Wrestling and Bleacher Report, Chris Featherstone, feature columnist for the site. So continue to support us. Continue to let people know about the Pancakes and Power Slam show. Real quick, most recognized spears. I'll give an honorable mention to Christian and Big Show. Top five here, WWE wrestlers past and present. Number five, Bobby Lashley. He had a good spear for his size. Batista, number four. Edge, number three. That was his finisher. I'll put Rhino, number two, just because of the intensity of the gore. And then one, definitely a clear-cut Goldberg. So just a little flavor of the week this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for supporting us. 347-884-8452 is the number to put in your back pocket for next week's show. Thank you so much for being with us. Like I said, follow us at Crave Wrestling. Definitely want to increase our social media exposure, aiming for 1,000 followers in the beginning. That would be our checkpoint. So just continue to tell people about Crave Wrestling. We'll have some fun trivia for you and continue to let you know about the latest news in pro wrestling. Check me out. Bleacher Report, one of the feature columnists there. It's an honor to be one of the feature columnists for the Bleacher Report. Chris Featherstone, check me out. Write articles multiple times a week. So thank you so much for all the many, many reads that I get on my articles. So thank you so much for that support. Any inquiries, any Flavor of the Week topics, send us an email, cravewrestling@gmail.com. Send us random tweets throughout the week, and if they're worthy to be said, we will read them on the air. Thank you so much for listening today. It's our express version, 60 minutes. We will be here next week, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Spread the word about Crave Wrestling. Spread the word about Pancakes and Power Slams. And until then, enjoy your wrestling. God bless.